welcome friends to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm happy always to say greetings in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior, and I want Him to be yours. He can be yours. In fact, He came to be yours. Remember what He said in the book of Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Well, you may have started this day wrong, but by the grace of God, glory to God, may I say, you can end it just right. If you repent of your sin and by faith receive Christ as your Savior. It's just that simple, friend. I mean, the Bible tells us, for the Son of Man again has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And if you're in that category, the Lord's looking for you. He knows where you're at exactly, by the way. But if you'll recognize Him, if you'll repent of your sin and by faith receive Him, well, there'll be a transaction change that will take place in you that will change you for an eternity. Look, I've opened my Bible to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, and as soon as Debbie does a song, one of her title songs, one of her projects, Oh, What an Honor, I'll be back to share the message God has laid on my heart. Ah, friend, what an honor it is to serve the Lord, the King of Kings. My, what a privilege. Well, you enjoy the song. I'll be back with a message in just a few.
Last night I was dreaming, I stood in a place, standing in the midst of a throne. Like a little girl in all of her dreams, I was dressed in royalty. I wondered how this could be, for I'm just a pauper, you see. Heard a thundering voice, it was speaking to me. For you I paid a great price, one day on Calvary. Oh, what an honor to serve a king. He owns it all, He owns everything. Hallelujah. Serve a king. When I awoke, I realized it was only a dream. Then I heard a still small voice saying, one day it'll be a reality. Oh, what an honor to serve a king. He owns it all, He owns everything. Hallelujah, just praising His name. Oh, what an honor to serve a king.
The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Friend, I don't have to, but by the grace of God, thank God, I get to. And so can you today. You can start your service for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords if you'll go to Christ, repenting of your sin, asking Him to save you. You know what He'll do? Thank God He'll save you, just like the Word of God said. Whosoever is called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, the Word of God says this in verses 9 and 10, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people." And look at what he goes on to say, "that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which hath not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." I'm going to talk to you a little while today about this thought. I'm talking about the believer's privilege and responsibility. We've got great privileges as followers of Christ, as believers in Christ Jesus. And yet, friend, we've got some great responsibility that goes with that. A believer's privileges and responsibilities. Oh, friend, what a great position we have, those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Well, let me just start this message. Look, I need to tell you that as Peter was inspired to write, he was inspired according, well, I don't know what I believe it is, to verse 1, and I'll probably get this again. Maybe it's verse 1, "to the stranger scattered abroad." Peter was talking to his people, the Jew, and he was talking to those because of the persecution of the church had been scattered from Jerusalem out into the other parts of the world, as Christ told them to go and go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, had to do something for the glory of God. And Peter, he addresses his audience that are Jewish, who knew the Old Testament, that understood the rituals of a day that was now ended, a day that, well, actually had seen its death, if you allow me to say it that way, had a place called Calvary. And I know the priesthood for the Old Testament, for the Jews, for the people of the Old Testament, what I should have said, will be revived in the kingdom, but that's another message altogether. Hey, look, these believers, Peter was saying, has a special position in Christ Jesus. And I want you to know today, if you're in Christ, you have a special position to all what Peter is telling us who know Him. But let me say this. May I say this as simply as I can, and yet as plainly as I can. Along with the privileges that we have in Christ Jesus, that means we have great responsibility. Hey, the Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 48, "Too much is given, much is required." But I don't know about you, as I look at verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 2, man, it just makes my head spin. It makes my heart stir. It makes my spirit leap when I begin to think that we're a chosen generation, those of us who are in Christ, those of us who are followers of Christ, those of us who have trusted Christ as our Savior. Hey, God wants us to know that we are a chosen people. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a peculiar people. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Listen, what I'm saying is simply this. Hey, look, friend, when God says to who much is given, much is required, what He means by that is this. Look, friend, according to our privileges, we have responsibility. Don't you think so? I mean, if we are a follower of Christ, a believer of Christ, now listen to this. Please hear this. Our life, listen, friend, our walk for Christ must agree with our profession of Christ. Oh, look, we've got a calling. It's a holy calling. Bless God, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. I'm telling you, we are to be a separated people unto God. But I'll say more about that as the message continues. As Peter begins to set forth these four wonderful truths that he does in this verse about what a believer is in Christ. Listen, let's let the Holy Spirit of God just teach us and minister to us and stir us in mighty, mighty ways. And I've been led, I believe with all of my heart, by the Spirit of God, to kind of turn this list around. And you say, why, preacher? Well, I don't know, but I'm going to start with these four things that we have as I our position in Christ. But I want to start with the last one. I believe it's maybe the most misunderstood here, and maybe that's why God wants me to mention it first. Paul or Peter tells us that we are a peculiar people. Now let me tell you what this does not mean before I tell you what it does mean. I don't know about you, but I'm sorry to say that I don't believe. Well, let me say it this way. This, first of all, does not refer to us being odd. Bless God, but what I was going to say, I don't know about you, but I've met a lot of Christians that are odd. That's not what a peculiar Christian is supposed to be about. That has nothing to do with the meaning of this word, peculiar. It has nothing to do with what God is trying to communicate to you and I. Listen, friend. Hey, look, we ought not be strange ducks. We ought not be people that cause other people to scratch their head at us or desire to get away from us as soon as they can because we act weird and talk weird and are weird. No, that's not what he's saying. When he calls us a peculiar people, he means that we are purchased possession of Almighty God. It means that we have been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. That was shed. Oh, I'm telling you something, friend, that doesn't make anybody shout. I'm telling you, I don't know what will. We have been bought with a price, and that means, now listen to this, we are God's special possession. Well, I'll tell you, friend, listen, that is glorious. That is wonderful. I'm telling you, I can feel that from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. We're not our own, friend, to do as we please, but we belong to God. He has ownership of us. He has sealed us with His Spirit as a testimony of that ownership. And hey, we're not our own to do as we please. The Word of God says, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, watch this, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He said in the book of John, chapter 17, Jesus did when He was praying that high priestly prayer, the latter part of verse 6, and this is awesome. Jesus was praying and said, listen, God, thine they were, and Thou gavest them me. Isn't that amazing to think God gifted His Son with a sinner that needed to be saved by grace like me? And oh, by the way, like you, oh, thank God, listen, we ought to quit being weird. And we ought to begin to be Christ-like. We ought to be, listen, act like royalty because we are. We ought to live right. We ought to talk right. We ought to act right. We ought to be right because we belong to Almighty God. Well, maybe I could stay there longer than what I'm going to. But I want you to know, friend, listen, our position in Christ is that of a peculiar people, a purchased possession, a unique possession that's owned by God Almighty. I don't know about you, but that makes me want to stand straighter, walk more plainly, and be, bless God, what I ought to be for the glory of God. But He also says we're a chosen generation. You know what that means? That means simply this, that we're a people that's chosen by God. And in fact, it's done by grace. That means we are the elect of God. John 15:16 says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Now listen, Peter's writing to strangers that are scattered abroad. I'm telling you, he's talking to Jews. And I know I've already said this, but I need to repeat it. He is talking to Jews that have been converted. That's why he's using the kind of verbiage that he's using with that, a lot of explanation. The Jews understood a lot of this. And all they knew that in the Old Testament, they were the elect of God. They were that tiny nation that was chosen by God, according to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7. Not because they were the greatest nation, not even because they were the smallest, but because God loved them. Isn't that amazing? Now listen to me. Israel's been set aside temporarily. God's promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, His covenant with David and the Jew itself, bless God, will be fulfilled in a day that's yet to come. But that, all of that has been set aside temporarily. And according to what Paul said in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 about the election of the church, listen to what he says. He said, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Listen, friend, we are a chosen generation. And by the way, this choosing speaks of the grace of God manifest upon us. Listen, the Bible says in the book of Romans 4 and 24 that we're justified freely by His grace. You say, what's that mean? Preacher, that means simply this. God didn't find anything in us that made us worth or worthy of being elected or worthy or worth being saved. But He found something, bless God, in His heart. He found something in Himself that moved Him towards lost mankind, sinners like me and you, to provide a plan of salvation so whosoever would could be saved. Thank God. Listen, we're a chosen generation and we're a holy nation. Hey, listen, our walk ought to match our calling. Let me tell you how we ought to live, may I? I believe as believers, as followers of Christ, I believe as this royal priesthood I'm going to get to in my next point, that we are a part of or that we make up. I believe our lives ought to be in line. I bless God of what we are professing. And I believe we're to live as if we were priests serving in the tabernacle or the temple of the days that have now come and gone. Hey, friend, I want you to notice that when we are called a nation, it's a holy nation. Now, first of all, that means that we've been set aside by God to serve us. That means God has chosen us. And that means, again, He has put us in a marvelous position. He has set us aside to serve Him. Him, by the way, who is holy. Bless God, listen to me. We have been set aside by the divine fiat of Almighty God. That deals with our position. But may I say something here? Bless God, it not only deals with our position, but I'll tell you, I believe it's a command for us to be holy. That's what He said in verse 15 of chapter 1. He said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Bless God, listen. I want you to know it's an important thing for those of us who have been set into a royal priesthood, who God calls a holy nation, to be holy. In the Old Testament, according to Leviticus 10:10, the priests, they were to put a difference between the clean and the unclean. Well, sir, ma'am, if we are a royal priesthood today, and we are, they had a ritual back then, but we're royal today. We're to still act like that we're doing service before God, for God in the temple or in the tabernacle. And we're to put a difference between the clean and the unclean. We cannot approach God in any old way that we think we can. And if you don't believe me, ask Abihu and Nadab in the book of Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1, and see what happened to them when they brought strife strange fire into the tabernacle. God dropped them dead, dropped them like a rock. You look in Acts chapter 5, see what happened when the church was just beginning with Ananias and Sapphira. Bless God, they dropped dead for lying. Well, if God still killed people for lying, there wouldn't be too many left in the church, would there? I want you to know, I bless God, according to 1 Peter 1 and 14, we're not to fashion ourselves according to the former lies. When we were in ignorance, bless God, but we're to be holy. Hey, John said this, Jesus said this, again in his high priestly prayer, chapter 17, verse 11 and 14. He said, they are in the world, but they are not of the world. I'm telling you, friend, we're in the world, but we're not to be contaminated by the world. We're a holy. Let me say it again. We're a holy nation. And if we're not holy, maybe we don't belong to God. Let me give you the last points really quick. We're a royal priesthood. And listen, all four of these points demand a message all to their self. All to their self. How about the Jews Peter was speaking to? Clearly remembered and understood how the Old Testament priesthood, how today God's people, bless God, are a priesthood. There was a priesthood in the Old Testament, but we are a priesthood today. And listen to me, listen to the Spirit of God. Our position as such demands a separation from us. We are to have a contact with the world without contamination from the world. We're a royal priesthood because our Savior is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And according to Revelation 1:6, He has made us priests and kings unto Him. Listen to me, friend. The priesthood of every believer is a birthright. I'm telling you, provides us equal access to God Almighty just as Jesus Himself has it. And according to the Word of God, here in chapter 5 or verse 5 of chapter 2, we're to be offering. We are to be offering spiritual sacrifices unto God. And let me tell you what it is. It is our person. It is our praise. And it is our prayers. Well, let me say something to you. When the priests came before God, when they did their service in their order in the Old Testament, they had to be pure within and without. I mean to tell you, they couldn't be contaminated with strong drink or wine or anything else that was worldly and ungodly. I mean to tell you, listen, they were to be holy because they were ministering to a holy God. Hey, God's not changed. He's not lowered the standards. We've tried to, but our position is mighty. It's glorious. It's wonderful. It's grand, but there's great responsibility with it. We all like the position that we have, but with that position comes a personal responsibility. And you say, what is it, preacher? Well, simply put, it's to give praises to God. It's to show forth, listen, before the world, the praises of God. To use a word that Paul used, and we are to magnify God in our body, whether it be by life or death. We're to be like a telescope to bring Him close. And we're to be like a microscope to make Him big. How we're to bring, listen, Christ to people. How they're to see us. They're to see Him in us. Excuse me. I mean, they're to say, listen, what kind of magnification are you giving Christ? What do people think about your Christ when they see you? Are you still living in darkness? He tells us here how that He has taken us out of darkness and put us into His marvelous light. I'm telling you, still sneaking around? Are you still sinning? Do you think, hey, listen, we've got liberty, but bless God, we don't have liberty to make a disgrace of grace. We don't have liberty, bless God, to make a lasciviousness out of grace. We don't have liberty to hide behind a cloak book, bless God, how we're to be holy. If we're representatives of Christ, and if we're priests of God, if we're a chosen priesthood, how, bless God, how we ought to be separated, how we are to be holy like Christ, how we are to live as much without sin as we can. And I know we've got a sin nature that's continually with us. But I'll tell you this, though we never will be sinless in this life, as we grow in grace and knowledge, we ought to continually sin less. I'm telling you, we're to tell Him out, how you doing? We've got a great privilege if we're in Christ. But our walk ought to match our profession. Hey, we are to act like, we are to serve like, we are to live like, we're to dress like, we're to act like. Bless God, we're priests in the tabernacle and the temple. And I want you to know they took great pains to approach God right and to serve God right and to do that ritual that God gave them to do just right. You say, why, preacher? Because they knew it would mean death to them physically. I'm persuaded what I'm saying today, bless God, can point to the fact that there's so much deadness in the Christian church. Hey, folks, we've got a great privilege, but we got great responsibility. Hope the message has been a blessing. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.